we read the verses 1 through 17. John chapter 3, the verses 1 through 17. That is the scripture reading this afternoon. And there we read God's word in John 3, verses 1 through 17. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So far the reading of the Holy Word of God. Last week we considered how the Pharisees were objecting to the ministry of Christ. They had their man-made rules. And they thought if they didn't have to, that the Lord Jesus did not have to heal on the Sabbath day, that the Lord Jesus showed them that it was perfectly right and even necessary to do good on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees, they were hypocrites. They were continually asking, is it lawful, is it lawful? Instead of asking, is it loving, is it caring, is it kind? And after Christ has exposed them twice to their hypocrisy, they withdraw. And they are very angry. And they have a meeting. And the purpose of the meeting is to find out how they can destroy Jesus of Nazareth. And the Lord Jesus, he knows it all. He withdrew himself from thence. And great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all. He withdrew himself because the Lord Jesus still had work to do. His day had not yet come. He still had to preach the gospel, to hold out life and salvation. The gospel still had to be preached to poor people, to the lost sheep of Israel. And that's what we find in our text. Christ ministering to the people. You see a great example, a rich encouragement, and an open invitation. So first, and a great example. Well, try to get the picture of what's happening. The Lord Jesus went away and the people followed Him. The people, they flocked to Him. And that's the point here. That's the example here. They followed the Lord Jesus. And they are our example. These people, they followed Him because they were drawn to Him. Imagine the Lord Jesus had just healed a man with a shriveled hand. People were talking about it. They were amazed. And they flocked to the synagogue where Jesus was. And they see the Pharisees angry, stomping out of that synagogue. They see the man healed, rejoicing. The people all excited and moved. And then they see the Lord Jesus also leaving the synagogue followed by His 12 disciples. And Jesus is leaving that area, moving on to another place, followed by great multitudes. And these people, they are attracted to Him. Why? Why are they attracted to Jesus of Nazareth? Imagine if you were there and you would mingle in the midst of the crowd and ask the people, now you, why are you following Jesus of Nazareth? Well, you could very well receive the answer, oh, because He is a great prophet. Or in other words, say, because He is Elijah, risen from the dead. Or another will tell you, oh, He is John the Baptist. And someone else will say, no, I think He's one of the old prophets. And someone else will say, oh, He must be Messiah. Look at the wonders He does. He must be Messiah who will deliver us from the Romans. Blessed is this one. Hosanna to him that cometh in the name of the Lord. And a woman standing close by to you would say, blessed are the breasts that gave him suck. Blessed is his mother. He is altogether wonderful. So all these people would say, because of his person, they are following him. They think he's a prophet or Messiah, his person. But if you go a bit further in the crowd and ask some other people, why are you following the Lord Jesus? They will say, because of his works. He does such mighty works. He feeds us with bread from heaven. He just healed that man over there with a withered hand. Look. And he opens the eyes of the blind. He even heals lepers with a touch of his hand. We love him because of his miracles. Never has anything like this happened before in Israel. He is the great prophet of Nazareth, mighty in works. They come from all over, even from the heathen lands around us. They're coming to see him, and they are healed by him. Oh, we follow him because of his works. You walk a bit further into that crowd, and you ask others, why are you following Jesus of Nazareth? And you could very well receive the answer. Oh, because of his words. Because of his speech. Oh, the way he preaches. It's wonderful. He preaches with authority. Oh, the rabbis, they speak rule upon rule, law upon law, line upon line. It's boring. But the Lord Jesus, he speaks truths. And it makes perfect sense what he's saying. We are amazed at his doctrine. The parables he gives. The lessons he teaches. The explanations of the law. It's so pure. A And the Lord Jesus, he spoke the language of the common people. He used imagery from everyday life. He told stories people could relate to. He would speak of a farmer going out to sow the seed, or fishermen sorting out their catch, or of tenants who rented land, and the landlord comes to receive the payment. He spoke of wine, new wine you must put into new leather bags. Yes, that's right. That's how we always do it. Even children could understand him. The preaching of the Lord Jesus must have been so plain and so simple that children could understand him, and that at the same time his preaching was so profoundly deep that the most knowledgeable could find deep instruction in his words. And if you go a bit further, others would tell you, oh, he is so kind. I want to be with him. He is so kind. He is caring. There's something so beautiful about him. My children love him. My children want to hear this teacher. They want to stand up close to him. And he looks at them. And he cares for them. They sense it. And if you would look at him, you will see there's compassion flowing from his eyes. There's love, there's care in the way he looks at you. The rabbis who instructed me in our law, they couldn't care less about me. But this one has consideration. He's compassion upon the sick. He's kind. And so the multitudes were attracted to him. You know, the text says that there were great multitudes following. So imagine that. There's a multitude, but actually it's a great multitude, and then in the plural sense, another great multitude, and another great multitude. That's how many people were flocking to the Lord Jesus. They were clogging up the roads. The economy came to a temporarily grinding halt because they all flocked to hear him. They wanted to hear him. And all these multitudes, they desired his attention. There was an enormous pressure upon him. You may say you're busy, but there was no man ever so busy as the Lord Jesus. He labored long hours from dawn to dusk and into the night, and early in the morning he would be out in the fields praying, seeking communion with his Father, that he would have the whole day to receive the poor and the needy. And what a moving sight it was to see Christ, the light of the world, his hands full of grace and truth, full of power to heal and to save. And there he is, surrounded with sick people, with blind and deaf and lame and crippled, people who had caught awful diseases that had mutilated their bodies, and they had terrible sores, and their sores were stinking sores. They were not bound up or cleansed. No, it was awful. It was awful to look at. And in all their need and grief, they flocked to him. There were so many of them that at times the disciples had enough of it. And they said, Lord, send the multitudes away from thee. They need to eat with nothing to give them food. And they saw all these sick people clamoring around the Lord Jesus. And at times the disciples had to skip lunch or supper. And the Lord Jesus himself was at times bone weary. So that at a certain occasion when they crossed the Sea of Galilee, he placed his sacred head on a cushion and he fell asleep. In the midst of a raging storm, because he was so tired. that Jesus would always be available. He would never say, I've no time for you. He showed genuine care and refused none. He radiated love and kindness, and that drew people to him. And so they came from all over. Matthew 4 verse 25 describes where they all came from. People from Galilee and from Decapolis, that's an area of the 10 cities. It's on the other side of the lake of Galilee. And they came from Jerusalem and from Judea. They came from beyond Jordan. They were big trips. The people from Judea and Jerusalem, they couldn't come straight over to Galilee. No, they had to go to the Jordan, cross over, go on the other side, and right underneath the Lake of Galilee, they would cross over again because they didn't want to go to the land of the Samaritans. A roundabout way, a nuisance. That's how they did it. They wanted to. And even scribes and Pharisees came out of Jerusalem. Matthew 15, verse 1. They then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, who were of Jerusalem. They wanted to check this out. What's happening there in Galilee? Many followed the Lord Jesus. And very simply, they are an example for us, for you and me. In all your need, in all your struggles, in all your fears, in all your wants, in all your frustrations, in all your pain, in all your suffering, in all your questions, you are invited to flee to Him. The more needs you have, the better it is. And come above all with the need of your soul, with the need for salvation. In the totality of your life, there's only one address, the Lord Jesus Christ. Never stay short of Christ. And even these people who followed Him, they even failed to see why He came. It was to save His people from their sins. But they followed Him for all other reasons. And yet, He received them. He didn't say, why you come here? Because you want bread? Or because you want to be healed? Don't you know why I'm coming? Don't you know why I'm here? To save my people from their sins? No, He never answered that way. And if you would ask questions, it would be to show them their greatest need. To follow Him, not for the bread that decays, but for the bread of life. But the Lord Jesus received them. And so are you. Every one of you, welcome. Many multitudes followed Him then. But there are far more multitudes that follow Him now. There are much more people now who have learned to follow Him as the Savior of their souls. These people have learned to follow Him because they have been uncovered to their sins. And they cannot live without Him. They need Him to deliver them from sin, from misery. They need Him to give them strength to fight in the spiritual battle they are engaged in. They need Him to draw them closer to God. They need Him to lead their lives, that they would not waste it, but that they would spend it according to God's will. Are you one of these people? Are you one of these who cleave to Christ by day and by night, that you need Him for everything in your life? Have you written yourself off? Have you come to the awareness, I can do nothing without Christ? Is there in your heart His desire to follow Him because of His kindness, His concern, His care, and that you see He is the Savior? He can redeem me from my sinful heart. I need Him. Has He become altogether desirable for you, altogether attractive? Is that why you follow Him? Then blessed you are. You're at the right address. None of us can afford to stay short of Christ. We need Him. You will need Him when you see your need for Him. There's a two separate thing. First, you have to see your need for Him. And then there will be, you will need Him. The Lord Jesus speaks about the church in Revelation 2 and 3. And He divides His church up into various sections. He speaks about the church in poverty. Thou art poor, but thou art rich. But the Lord also speaks about the church that is rich, that is affluent. And the Lord Jesus gives this characterization of the church that is rich. You know not that ye are poor, that ye are blind, naked, miserable. How is it with us? Do we think we're trolling along pretty fine? Do we think we have everything sorted out in life? We have a good income and a home and a good job and a nice church. Is that how we're living? But of course we need the Lord Jesus, but we have our own life, we're motoring along. And that you've never seen that you really are blind, naked, poor, miserable. Isn't it time for God's Spirit to work to show us who we are? Because it's not the point what we think of ourselves. The point is really, what does God think of us? And maybe we should ask, Lord, show me how Thou dost view me. Expose me to my poverty. Show me that I can do nothing without Thee. Show me that Thou only canst fill my heart, not all my affluence and prosperity, but Thou, Thy presence, Thy love, Thy communion, Thy nearness. Show me this, so that I would follow Thee. And I would be like His multitudes following Thee as the Savior of sinners. But then we also see, secondly, a rich encouragement. Because then we read then the words, He healed them all. What a rich encouragement to follow the Lord Jesus. If you know a doctor in downtown Hamilton who heals all the patients, well, you would go to him. But have you ever heard of a doctor who can heal all patients? There are always incurable cases for doctors. But this one has no incurable cases. He healed them all. Never did any flee to him and would find no healing. None ever came to him to be rejected. He never said to anyone, I'm actually too busy now. Other rabbis would say that. But not the Lord Jesus. He had an open ear to all in need. He never allowed one to go back who was not heard. He healed them all, and He did it simultaneously. Some even had to only touch His clothes and they were healed. He healed them all. Matthew emphasizes this in his gospel repeatedly. He healed them all. You find it already in Matthew 4, verse 23 and 24. There you read that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people, and He healed them. And then in Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36, that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching and preaching and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Luke describes the scene in Luke 6, verse 17 and 18, that a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. That's emphasized in the gospel. But how could the Lord Jesus have done all this work, giving attention to so many people? He healed them all. Well, the Lord wanted to do this, and he made a point of doing it. It was so important to him to heal every manner of disease that came to him, that when the Lord Jesus himself has to summarize his ministry and give a description of it to the servants of John the Baptist in Matthew 11 verse 5, then the Lord Jesus describes it as follows: the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He healed them all. We imagine there were even those who stood afar off, who were not even allowed to come close. We think of the lepers. Lepers were not allowed to come. And they would be at a distance crying out to him, maybe thinking he will never hear us. He is so far away. And there are multitudes around him clamoring. And they cry, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." But the Lord Jesus heard their cries, and he lifted up his eyes and saw them. And he would go towards them and heal them. He healed them all. And that's repeatedly emphasized, so that you and I would keep this truth before us when we go out to the Lord in prayer. It's stated in Scripture for your and my encouragement. Because the Lord Jesus is still the same. Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus is now in heaven. But Hebrews 13 verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As compassionate as he was then, he still is now. As caring as he was then, he still is now. As powerful in his instruction, he still is now. What encouragement! He can heal your soul. He can deliver you from your distress. He can save you in your need. He can relieve you in your tension. He can sustain you in spite of your weakness. He can comfort you in your sorrow. He can cleanse you of your guilt. He can give life in your death. What an encouragement to flee to him in the totality of our lives. And then finally, it's also an open invitation. Because all these dealings and these healings, they are an implicit invitation to us. We must come to him. An invitation. He healed them all. But we, of course, have to understand Scripture well. Because does this mean that we, with all our sicknesses, can also now call upon the Lord Jesus and all our sicknesses will be healed? We know that's not the case. But why not? Why not? The Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed them all. Why not now, healing all the sicknesses? What a wonderful Savior that would be! Yes, it would be wonderful. And the entire 5 billion or 6 billion people of this world would all follow Jesus of Nazareth. And they would all be healed. There would be no sickness in this world. How wonderful! Can he not do that? Yes, he can do that. Why does he not do that? Because we would perish. That's why. We may then live maybe 120, 130 in perfect health. And then we were of old age, just have to succumb and die. And then, after perfectly healthy life, we would all perish in our sins. Because the Lord Jesus was a wonderful healer. But at the end of the way, he could do nothing more for us. We would perish in our sins. And that's why the task of the Lord Jesus was not to empty the hospitals. But the task of the Lord Jesus was much deeper. It was to save his people from their sins, that they would receive life everlasting, that they would leave this life and enter into the glories of eternal life with the Lord Jesus. And there in eternal life, there indeed there will be no sickness, no tears, no suffering, no grief. Then indeed everything will be perfect. But first things first. First, we must be saved from our sorrow, from our sins. And that was the calling of the Lord Jesus. That's what the angel had already told Joseph in Matthew 1, verse 21, that Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Lord Jesus explained this, what the purpose of his calling was. In Matthew 20, verse 28, that even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, payment needed to be made for sin. And we read John 3. It's not the idea to go now into regeneration or the talk of the Lord Jesus with Nicodemus, that falls outside the scope of this sermon, but to quote those last two verses that we read from John 3, specifically 14 through 16, that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why the Lord Jesus came, to give life everlasting, to pay for the sins of his people, that they could be wiped clean, that they could become heirs of everlasting life. And that's why in Acts 5, verse 31, the apostle summarized the saving power of Christ, that him hath God exalted at his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The aim was to save, but not to heal. The aim was to save. But why then did the Lord Jesus do all these healings? They were a sign, a continual sign of his saving power, that eventually he would deliver his people from all pain and suffering and death. But the root of the problem had to be addressed. That is sin. And then imagine all these people following him, and the Lord healed them all. What does that mean? That means right. That means that those who follow him and flee to him with their sins, with their guilt, with the mess of their life, they will be forgiven. They will receive a new life in him. they will be washed and renewed. And the Lord gives them a heart to believe in Him. The Lord gives a heart to turn to Him. And the Lord gives them remission of all their sins. And He pours out His Holy Ghost upon them, who will lead them into all truth. And so those simple words, "He healed them all," is an open invitation to come to Him. He does not cast out those who come to Him. He delights in mercy. The Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn to Him and would find life. He healed them all. And that's an open invitation to you and to me. You are invited to find remission of your sins, a new life, everlasting salvation in Him. But you know, many stay away. Why? Because they don't recognize their need. They say a nice sermon, they go home and do nothing with it. Their lost condition doesn't bother them. And that they play with sin doesn't bother them. And that their lives are defiled, it doesn't bother them. And that they have no raging love for the Lord Jesus does not bother them. And that they have other idols in their life beside the Lord Jesus. They're telling themselves it's okay. But it's not okay. And therefore God's Spirit needs to uncover us for our need. And what you then feel is not something enjoyable. When the Lord uncovers you for your sin and shows you that you are blind and miserable and naked, that's not something pleasant. And to be brought into great need, that you cry out from great need unto the Lord in spiritual battles you are in, where you feel your weakness, that's not pleasant. Imagine the sickfold coming to the Lord Jesus. They had pain. They were blind. It wasn't pleasant for them. It was distress for them. That's why they came. Well, when you see your need of Him, or when you are uncovered to your sins, as we call that, don't expect that something nice happens to you. That you will have a sense of accomplishment. A sense of fulfillment. Yes, now I think I'm uncovered to my sins. Good. So now I can pray to the Lord. And you just, it doesn't go like that at all. When the Lord convicts you of sin, you groan. You suffer. You're defiled. You know it. You're miserable. You're weak. 1,000 doubts go through your mind. And the accuser of the brethren is there to tell you that you don't have enough conviction, that you first have to clean up your life, that you first have to meet certain preconditions before you can flee to the Lord Jesus. And you end up in a storm, tossed to and fro. You hardly dare come to the Lord Jesus because you're unworthy. It can be so subtle, even that you think you have no conviction of sin, and that therefore you are not entitled to call upon the Lord, while in reality you have become poor and needy, and you know, "I'm falling below the mark, I'm not suitable for the Lord Jesus," and you doubt and you wonder, and you dole around, and all along you feel lost, and in this confusion you are even inclined to stay away from Christ, and 1,000 doubts go through your mind. But the truth is, He heals all those who come unto Him. And you are the one to flee to Him as soon as possible. With all your impossibilities and all your doubts and temptation and all your fears, He will heal you. Because He bore the punishment of sin. He bore their sicknesses and their griefs. He took the load of the misery of poor sinners upon Himself. And He took that whole unbearable burden upon Himself. And He took that whole load to a place called Calvary. And there He nailed the load of the miseries of His people to that cross. And there he had to suffer all pain and misery. And for him there was no healing. He had to suffer all the agonies of the curse of God upon sin. In the midst of his great agony, he cried out for his God, but he received no answer. He who had healed others received no healing himself. He who had delivered others from their pain and need had no relief himself. He had to bear the curse of sin and the wrath of God's punishment to the full extent until he gave up the ghost. And so he paid the price of his own blood. He caused the blind to see, but therefore he had to be in outer darkness. He caused others to hear, so that he would experience that his God would not hear him when he was on the cross. He healed others of their leprosy, so that he would have to experience that he was considered unclean and to cast him out of Jerusalem. He healed them all, and therefore they came to him. And what about us? What about you and me? What do you do? You understand what we must do. Can a blind man afford to stay away from Christ? You say, of course not. You would have told then at that time a blind man to go to the Lord Jesus. Well, can you afford to stay away from Christ? Of course not. Whatever your needs are, he knows how to deal with him. Believe that he is merciful, that he is compassionate. You have nobody who takes time to listen to you. Here is one who does listen. Here is one who does understand you. Here is one who can save to the uttermost. He can save the most miserable cases. And whatever your need is, go to him. See his love, his faithfulness, his goodness. And cast your needs upon him, the need of your soul, the burden of your unbelief, the pains because of an hard and impenitent heart. Lay your impossibilities and the riddles of your life before the Lord. The needs of the people who came to him were diverse, and our needs are also diverse. Whatever need there is, he can deliver you. Do you have grief? Do you lack wisdom? Do you need courage? Do you need strength? Is your soul blind to reality? Is your heart as hard as a stone? Are you so black as black can be? Is there nothing good about you? Is your life a failure? Are you unable to control yourself? Are you lost in sins and miseries? Must you die and you cannot? Is the guilt of your youth bothering you? Are you hurt by other people? Are you discouraged? Do you need a Savior for your soul? We can go on and on. Well, here is a Savior set before you. He has come to hear you, to heal you, to comfort you. In him there's a fullness of power to save. You see, his salvation is not that he makes salvation possible and that you somehow have to try to lay hold on that salvation. No, he saves you. He lays hold of you. He takes control of you. And he leads you in a way you had not known. He heals the sin-sick soul. He washes away the filth of sin. He gives a new heart and a new spirit. He leads in a way of mortification of self, in a life of self-denial. He teaches you and leads the way. He gives you comfort along the way. He will one day give you a new body in the new soul, that you will suffer no loss with him whatsoever, for he healed them all. For a perfect Savior, in all your needs, do not stay away from him. Those who stayed away from him in Galilee were not healed, but those who went to him were healed. Confess your need of him. Lay your sins before him. The Lord doesn't ask for your money. He doesn't ask for qualifications. The only condition is that you are a sinner. And for such people, he shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, for it is his honor to heal them all. Amen.